Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Silly.
Here's John Williams.
We're about to get silly. This is John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Weekdays 1 to 3, Saturdays 10 to noon. I won't be there this Saturday, 10 to noon. I'm taking the Saturday off, but otherwise, you get the idea. On social media, search WGN King John. That's me. And yeah, go on. The Mincing Rascals is the podcast we record here on Thursdays. We dropped another one at 5 o'clock last night. It is about as spirited a conversation as the Mincing Rascals have ever minced. And we are one of the three finalists for best podcast in the city, according to the Headliner Club in Chicago. I'm recommending that you tune in to Steve Bertrand, Eric Zorn, Scott Stanis, Patty Vasquez, Justin Kaufman. I get to moderate. It's them. And boy, were they on their game. They were ramped up about Jussie Smollett. And that's why I said silly is the watchword today, because the city is on the precipice of turning this all into something that's just silly. We'll get to that in a minute. I want to remind you that if you go to WGNradio.com/Jefferson, go to WGNradio.com/Jefferson. Tickets went on sale 2 days ago. We're only doing one show. We're at the Classic Cinemas Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove, Saturday, May 18th at 10 a.m. It'll be a nice way to start your day. That Saturday, that weekend, just get up, head on over there, and watch Jefferson on stage. The title or theme for the show is Jefferson's Ticked. When I asked him about this, he said, I'm not ticked. First of all, we wouldn't say ticked. But also, I'm just disappointed in some of the things I've been seeing and hearing. We'll talk to him about life then and life now. It's a transformative, spontaneous, unrehearsed conversation. It's sponsored by our friends at the Joint Relief Institute. Maybe we'll get his knees fixed. Go to WGNradio.com/Jefferson to get your tickets now, please. It's hard to believe that the home openers for the Cubs and White Sox, A, the season started yesterday. It's hard to believe that the home openers will be Thursday. The weather just doesn't seem to be that possible. And as I live around Wrigley Field and go by it 6 days a week, I did a complete circumnavigation of Wrigley Field today. It's stunning to think that they're going to have that ballpark ready in 5 days, 6 days. I'm telling you, Wrigley Field is a construction site. They have been working on it since the day after the Cubs lost that one-game playoff last year. And I mean that. The next day they were there, and they work virtually around the clock, virtually every day of the year. They're not working at midnight, but they work into the evening. And they work 6 days, 7 days a week, I think. And I'm telling you, the only day I don't think they were there was Christmas. It's amazing how much work they've been doing. And I mean, literally, they have Addison down to two lanes, and they've got to remove barriers and barricades. And I'm just watching them still installing stuff that needs to be like set up and fixed and done. And they're going to have this ready to go Wednesday night. Okay. I'm not doubting them. In fact, here's one of the takeaways from watching, as I have, a half a year's worth of construction at Wrigley Field, where contractors seem to be showing up on time and getting the job done. And it's very complex, right? Like, okay, this job gets done, that cement gets poured, that dries. The next day, the guys are there to install the thing, and everything just seems to be running like clockwork. And then I think how hard it was to get somebody to put in bathroom tiles at my house. It's just amazing, right? I mean, I guess the takeaway must be, if you have enough money and your project is big enough, then by golly, they do get the job done. But for me, there was once upon a time and we tried to get a bathroom redone. And you've been to this movie, right? It's epic. I mean, at cocktail parties, you bore your neighbors with, and so then the plumber never showed. You just go on like that. And then you watch them say, okay, let's in 6 months' time virtually rebuild a Major League Baseball stadium. We'll put suites in and new restaurants and we'll paint the infrastructure and we'll just go crazy. Good luck to you on that, right? They're getting it done. One other note about what you'll see when you come downtown. And that is the Riverwalk construction, which I've been a big fan of, continues to go unabated. It's amazing how much work they're doing and how hopeful I am that you'll be able to enjoy the Riverwalk from Michigan Avenue almost all the way down to the lake on the south side of the Chicago River from Michigan Avenue down toward the lake past Columbus. The path is winding now with black dirt. Street poles have been put in the soil. And oh, they've still got some work to do, but man, they are humming over there. Last night I was watching the NCAA Buckleball Tournament and thought of one Lauren Lapka and thought, if I close my eyes and listen carefully enough, I'll bet I can hear her screaming.
You probably could. Oh my goodness.
You're a big Purdue fan.
Huge. And of course, I honestly lost faith for a bit because they were looking like them old selves.
Lauren.
they do this all the time. They're so good. And then somehow they just give up a huge lead. And then you're like, oh my gosh. We're not going to win.
How big is that big guy you got? 7'4"?
Something like that.
Yeah, 7'12"?
He's up there. But he's lanky. He's a lot better than lanky.
So I was watching the game last night.
Yeah, he's better than lanky.
It's hard. Every time I see Matt Painter, I think of Jiminy Glick.
I get that.
Okay, thank you. No one else has. Lauren, do you get that?
I can't say I do.
No.
Oh, yeah, the world.
I'll say the world. Lauren's got that. Number two.
Yeah, they were up by, what, 15? Then gave that up?
Yeah, it was a pretty big lead. And then to need to go to overtime was unnecessary.
Well, the opportunity to go to overtime was predicated on three free throws. So with a second left, the guy takes a three-point shot, gets fouled, goes to the free throw line. If he makes them all, they win.
Yeah.
Misses the first one. If he misses them all, they lose. If he makes two, they tie. And then he made the next two. Oh, cut away to his mom in the stands. Whoa.
It was intense. It was very intense.
So on they go. Big Ten represented. Go Purdue. By the way, DePaul continues to play in the College Basketball Invitational Tournament. They'll be at home on the 3rd. I will be in the stands with maybe 1,200 other people in the 3rd-tier tournament. I've been having a lot of fun at that thing. Just a couple of other quick notes to mention here. If you say to your smart speaker, play the Mincing Rascals, you will be able to hear the Mincing Rascals' most recent podcast. I think that's kind of cool. Just say to your smart speaker, play the Mincing Rascals, and you'll hear the latest episode of our podcast. The same way you might say, play WGN Radio. Okay, so we now have, I don't know if you heard our interview yesterday. You can also listen to it on our website. We interviewed Kim Fox, the current Cook County State's Attorney. And I think that this whole story is about to devolve into true silliness, right? I mean, nobody, in fact, was harmed here. It's embarrassing and it's stupid. But Jussie Smollett, I don't believe, was harmed. I don't believe he was the victim of a hate crime. You don't either. Frankly, the State's Attorney's Office doesn't either. The thing was mishandled, and it's embarrassing to everybody involved. But that's all. So let's try and keep some perspective here. Now we have a legislator who wants to ban Smollett from working in the state. Let's not do that. The city is suing him for $130,000. Fine, but let's not spend a lot of resources trying to get blood out of a turnip.
He's no turnip.
Smollett says that Rahm and Johnson, the mayor and the police superintendent, should apologize to him. Oh, yeah, I know you are, but what am I, said the mayor. In fact, the mayor said that this is in part Donald Trump's fault for fostering hate. Let's not do that. Let's not do that, guys. Come on. Joe Magatz has declined our invitation to come on, even though yesterday Kim Fox, in a lengthy interview on this show, pretty much said, I don't know what happened. It's Magatz's fault. So we reached out to Magatz today, the first, I keep calling him deputy. I forget what his exact title is, but he's the first assistant to the Cook County State's Attorney. And every time we said, well, why did you guys not get an apology? Well, why didn't you get more money? Well, what kind of a deal is this? She says, well, I don't know. It was Joe's deal. I recuse myself. So then we called Joe Magatz, who I don't think is a bad guy. I don't know him, but they sure describe him in glowing terms. and he declined our invitation to come on. Now, Ro Khan yesterday played back segments of our interview with Kim Fox on his show. I was walking down the hall and thought, huh, that's my voice. So I popped into the old studio to chat with him. And Ro felt like Kim Fox was lying left and right and that she should resign. Our news click asks you if she should step down. I said to Ro, you know, we can only ask the questions, and then she gets to answer them any way she wants. And if she says I recuse myself, Ro said she didn't recuse herself. That's a process, and she didn't go through it. I said, well, she said she effectively recused herself. She said that she knew nothing. She knows nothing about anything that was going on. If she picked up the Tribune or listened to WGN Radio, she'd hear about it, but that was all. Nobody in the office told her anything about what was going on, and she did not weigh in on whether or not to cut a deal, what the terms of it were, when it was, what should we get out of him, all of that. She had nothing to do with that and didn't even know anything about it and didn't send any directives. Oh, you should have seen my phone from family and friends who are saying, yeah, we don't think that's true. They weren't using those kind of words. They were using fancy words. And not because they had any evidence, but because they just don't believe it. I mean, that's the thing. If Kim Fox wants to tell you that, you have to accept it on faith because you don't have any evidence to the contrary. You also don't have to like it, and you don't, I guess, have to believe it, but that's what she said. It does seem to me like her stepping down is probably going to be a good idea. So the news click at WGNradio.com is should she or should she not resign? One last thing about that conversation you and I had, and Steve, I know you're busy over there, but I came away from that feeling like maybe we should have been a little tougher on her, in that we should have, even though we were getting her answers and suspicious of them, I don't know if there would have been any value to or purpose to calling her a liar, but I think we should have expressed more the anger that people were feeling.
I thought I overdid it.
I know you did, and at the end of the interview, you said something along those lines. And then I'm listening to Ro, and he's not having it. And I was getting the sense of that from some other people afterwards, that however compelling that conversation might have been, I mean, thank you, Kim Fox, for coming on, and we took notes. We had our questions ready. We appreciate your coming on. We probably should have been a little more, what's the word? We should have expressed more clearly what people were thinking and feeling, and that is, this is a bunch of BS.
I don't know. I mean, I told her the integrity of her office was at stake. I told her she was, when she said she wasn't sure what happened that night, I said, you're the only one. You know, I said, the mayor says it, the superintendent says it, your first deputy says it.
And yeah. not that she wasn't, she was taking our questions, and I think we held her to it. But, I mean, you can't fix the fact that she won't own it, that she won't take responsibility for it, and that she might not even be truthful about it. And that makes people crazy. And so there we were, handing that to you. And I wish I knew the words to fix that on the air as we're doing it, except to maybe erupt with a little more volume or anger. And I don't generally do that.
You can control your questions, but not her answers.
Well, that's the point, isn't it? I said something along those lines on Facebook. We reposted the interview. I'm WGN King John on Facebook if you want to hear it, or just go to WGNradio.com on my page. There's the conversation. I think we had all of the right questions. I know we had all the right questions. It's up to you to decide if you think those are good answers. This is WGN. Let's talk to Casey. This is John. You're on WGN. Casey, what's up?
Hi, John. I just wanted to say that just because she recused herself from the case doesn't mean she stuck her fingers in her ears and went, la, 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 la. You can still hear talk about what's going on.
Our last question to her was, what do you think happened? And she said, oh, I can't offer an opinion. And that's when people really lost it. They said, oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Right.
What do you think happened, lady? Come on. We didn't get an answer.
Absolutely. The buck stops with her. I mean, it is still her office.
I think that's well put, Casey. Thanks for the call. Kim, if you're listening, thanks for coming on. I hope you come on again. Stan, you're on WGN. What's up, Stan?
Hey, John. I think you two guys badgered her to death yesterday. And then I listened to you just now and said, you asked why she couldn't, why we couldn't get no more money. And you said, She said she didn't know. She told you that the max was $10,000.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, so what are you saying when you say she didn't tell you, she didn't know?
I'm telling you that people weren't satisfied with that answer.
No, that's not what you said, John.
Well, that's not what
you said.
Hey, listen to me, Stan. That's what I meant. I'm sorry if I misspoke there. I mean, yes, that specific...
I think you're doing a lot of misspeaking. That's what I'm saying. I hear you talking about her, and I...
You heard the interview then yesterday, right, Stan? Stan, come on. Are you still there? It looks like Stan's still there. Yeah, she did answer that question when we said, why not more money? And, well, the question about the $10,000, to me, was not so much about the amount as about the very fact, right? Like, if he's giving up, that's weird for somebody who, you know, you think is going to get away with it, is not going to be found guilty, then why do they have to forfeit the $10,000? A lot of us saw that as a mixed signal to begin with. And listen, the city wants more than $10,000. They're looking for, what is it, Steve? $130,000.
Correct.
They want $130,000. Speaking of K's, Eloy Jimenez yesterday was 0-for-3. Did he strike out yesterday? I know he didn't get a hit. He did get an RBI. But the new slugger that people are really anxious to see at White Sox Park was 0-for-3 yesterday on the road. Probably just as well the White Sox did open on the road. And he said, by the way, he felt too anxious. So I'm glad he's going to get some swings in on the road before he comes home for the home opener.
How did Ryne Sandberg start out with the Cubs?
Oh, my God, yeah. Producer Aleph, look that up. Ryne Sandberg's first X number of at-bats. Ryne Sandberg went, like... a week? Like 54 at-bats or something?
I was going to guess in the 60s, but I'm not sure.
It's insane how many at-bats he had before he got his first hit. And the manager, whoever it was at the time, somebody.
And I think it would have been Jim Fry.
And they said, are you sure about this? Are you sure about this? And he said, don't worry. This kid's going to hit. Bryce Harper, the $300 million man, yesterday was 0-for-3 with 2 Ks.
Fans were brutal on social media.
Aleph, do you have the audio? It's in our file of Bryce Harper in Philadelphia. This is the home opener. He's wearing a Philadelphia uniform. Let's go to the play-by-play. This is actually the gnat sound in the stands of him striking out. This is his first appearance before his new fans. Swing and a miss. Now, I don't know if that's significant. Some called it a smattering of boos. But it was a smattering. Welcome to Philly. Welcome to Philly, Bryce. 0-for-3 with 2 Ks. Manny Machado, the $350 million man, 0-for-3, 2 Ks. So we got that going for us.
So glad we didn't get him.
I know, because all they do is strike out. Still looking at this Sandberg stuff.
What was the number?
Producer Aleph, what was the rookie season start for Ryne Sandberg's career as a hitter, please?
Sandberg started his career going 1-for-32.
1-for-32.
Oh, man. Isn't that funny? We both had it way more than that.
Yeah. Okay, then he was 2-for-what? Somebody out there knows that's a Cubs fan. Okay, thank you, Producer Aleph. But I'll bet he was 2-for-63 or something like that.
Came over with? Who else from the Phillies?
I was just going to say, the Phillies, I got to know another name?
Yeah.
Larry Boa?
Larry Boa, very well played.
Okay, so that's 1982. 1984, he's the National League MVP. How about them apples?
It's a nice turnaround.
Eloy Jimenez, if you're listening, we're good. And by the way, it was in that year, 1984, 2 years into his MLB career, when he had what is now known as the Sandberg game, June 23rd, 1984.
It was in the third story of a three-story house in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
You remember where you were?
Absolutely.
You remember this game?
Are you kidding me?
I know Cubs fans
do. It was a Saturday afternoon.
I was busy that day.
It's the game of the week.
When
you could watch them that way, a national game.
It was a nationally broadcast game of the week. That used to mean something. It was the Cubs and the Cards were winning 7-1 after the second inning. But the Cubs kept coming back and closed the gap to one run.
And I think the tying run was off Lee Smith or Bruce Sutter?
Yes, Sutter.
Sutter.
And who was on second base to win?
Well, that was the second home run, right?
Yeah, he had two home runs.
Who was on second? That I don't remember.
Bobby Dernier.
What a game.
It came to be known as the Sandberg game, and for good reason. In that game, this now MVP went 5-for-6 with 7 RBI, 2 runs scored, 2 home runs. He won the game.
But again, he tied the game in the bottom of the ninth with the home run, right?
Let's see here.
They won in extra innings.
Let me just read the thing, Steve. Right. It says here, Cardinals jumped ahead to 7-1 lead after the second inning, but the Cubs kept coming back and closed the gap to 1 run. Cardinals lead hitting into the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah.
Cardinals lead bottom of the ninth. Sandberg leads off the inning with a home run off Bruce Sutter to tie the game and send it into extra innings. In the 10th inning, Sandberg faced Sutter again with the Cubs down 11-9. Wow, so then they put up
2 in the 10th?
And then we came back. Okay, so because I'm like, well, how does he get to bat in the next inning?
Got chills right now. I'm chilling.
Sandberg hit his second home run of the afternoon, this time with Bobby Dernier on base to tie the game at 11. In the 11th inning, the Cubs pushed across a run, and the Cubs won 12-11. So it sounds like he didn't get the game-winning hit, but he sent it into extra innings and then tied it up in extra innings.
And I think Bob Costas was the guy who made the call, if I recall correctly.
Care to share with us what you had for lunch that day, Steve?
I've forgotten everything else about the day.
Okay, so there you go. So why are we even talking about that? Well, because Eloy Jimenez said I was a little anxious. He was 0-for-3, but did pick up an RBI in his first MLB game. He did better than Machado and Harper did, and he's getting paid a whole lot less. So let's not worry about it. Did you know that Saturday at 8:30 is Earth Hour? You know, we'll do our Fun Things to Do segment with Lauren Lapka at 2:35. Are you going to cover the Fun Things to Do and include that in there, Lauren? I suppose we could, huh?
I sure can.
I'm not sure how fun it would be, but the idea is at 8:30 you turn off the lights and save energy. And then our problems will be solved. In fact, that's the one thing I don't like about that. This sort of token symbolism. I know it's good. It's Earth Air. We need to... Listen, I'm your big Earth-loving daddy. But I'm not sure that turning off the lights for an hour accomplishes a lot. And I hate it when we say, well, whew, I recycled that coffee cup. Or I turned off lights for an hour. It's not really going to get much done. Okay, I want to play for you the exchange between your Senator, Dick Durbin, and your Education Secretary, Betsy DeVos. As you know, the budget for the Education Department was going to cut funding for Special Olympics. Did you know that that fell under the Education Department funding? So the Education Department helps fund Special Olympics. 10% of Special Olympics funding comes as a gift from the federal government, from you and me, us taxpayers. We give 10% of their budget. It's about $17 million. And Betsy DeVos was testifying before the Senate explaining her budget and why the Department of Education has decided not to give money to Special Olympics.
Did you personally approve the elimination of the $18 million from your budget to help the Special Olympics?
Well, Senator, as you know, budget process within the administration is a collaborative one, and it's been my responsibility to present the budget here on behalf of the administration, the president's budget.
Yeah, I think a yes or no will do. The $18 million cut of the funding for Special Olympics?
No, I didn't personally get involved in that.
Well, I want to tell you, whoever came up with that idea at OMB gets a Special Olympic gold medal for insensitivity.
Let's not use disabled children in a twisted way for your political narrative. That is just disgusting and it's shameful.
Well, Madam Secretary, let me tell you what. Eliminating $18 million out of an $70 or $80 billion budget, I think is shameful too. I'm not twisting it. I asked you to answer yes or no. And you said that you did not personally approve
this. It's not a yes or no answer.
Well, it certainly is as far as I'm concerned. Someone has to accept responsibility for a bad decision.
The president accepted responsibility. He said, yeah, we'll give him the money. He said he likes Special Olympics. So after a few days of doing the rounds, saying, you know what, this is a tough cut, but we've got to make it, Donald Trump said, we'll give him the money. I like that about Donald Trump. I think a lot of us want a CEO to act like a CEO and say, guess what? I'm the boss here, and this is ridiculous, and so let's do it. Better that they had their ducks in a row beforehand, but they didn't. He didn't like it. You and I didn't like it. He fixed it. Hooray for us. President Trump told reporters that he had overridden the proposed cut. The Special Olympics will be funded. I just told my people I want to fund the Special Olympics, and I just authorized the funding of the Special Olympics. I've been to the Special Olympics. I think it's incredible, and I just authorized the funding. I heard about this morning. I have overridden my people. We're funding the Special Olympics. The president just gets an Olympic medal for saying the Special Olympics about 9 times in 2 sentences. After he spoke, Betsy DeVos immediately released a statement, and now she said, quote, I am pleased and grateful the president and I see eye to eye on this issue and that he has decided to fund our Special Olympics grant. This is funding that I have fought for behind the scenes over the last several years.
Wow, I didn't know that statement came out.
Oh, she's not done. She's evidently been on the Special Olympics side the whole time, even though the last 3 times they've said we should stop funding Special Olympics. The Special Olympics released a statement later in the day saying they were happy about this. He joins a long history of over 50 years of United States presidents and members of Congress on both sides of the aisle in their support of the Special Olympics, the Special Olympics said. The White House makes budget recommendations, this reporting from CNN, to Congress every year, but has no power to actually implement the cuts. This particular funding cut of Special Olympics was unlikely to ever pass Congress, calling into question why the White House would make such an obvious public relations misstep. DeVos has proposed the elimination twice before, and lawmakers have rejected it twice before, appropriating $17.6 million for the Special Olympics last year as part of overall funding. The education secretary twice this week defended the proposed budget cuts on the Hill, arguing that the Olympics are a private organization that receives donations and does not need federal backing. Cuts have to be made, she said. And then the president said, well, we're going to do it anyway. And she says, good, because I've been with you all along there, boss. Philip Bump in the Washington Post wrote about it, and he said, it's such a minuscule part of the funding for the education department. The education budget is $64 billion. They want $17.6 million. How do you not see this as a disaster in the weeds? Bump said, I love this. If the $64 billion education department budget were the height of the world's tallest building, the 2,700-foot-tall Burj Khalifa in Dubai, the amount spent on the Special Olympics would be an 8-inch-tall stick standing beside it. So there you are, 2,700 feet tall, a Burj building in Dubai, you know, the one that they play tennis on the top of and shoot golf balls off of, that one that goes way in the sky. The Special Olympics budget relative to that would be an 8-inch-tall stick. Here's another way to imagine it. If you were going to go from New York to Los Angeles, if the Education Department budget were a trip from New York to Los Angeles, Special Olympics would be 48 feet of that trip. So not a lot. So I'm glad that the president stepped up and put his foot down. I can't believe that anybody thought, you know, I mean, cuts have to be made, and anybody that loses a nickel is not going to like it. But how do you think that you're going to, I'm going to say, get away with it? How do you think that that's not going to do more than $17 million of damage? I don't know. Look, a text has just poured in. It's from Pete McMurray. Costas did have the call of the Sandberg game. I just watched it on YouTube this week. Hashtag number 23. Bertrand texted back, I'll never forget it. I know it's something to be remembered. I didn't see it, so I can't say I'll never forget it.
Really? I'm trying to think of what other games I would never forget.
Yeah, right.
And
I remember one of Bill Walton's games for UCLA. I remember the game when UCLA lost its win streak. I remember some stuff. I remember my phone number.
I remembered to put my shoes on this morning.
But I just didn't see that
it's
game.
It's not going to last forever either, you know.
Still, I'm disappointed. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. I'm disappointed somebody has not better put into context for us Ryan Sandberg's career start, because Steve and I remembered as being even more catastrophic than 1 for 32, although we understand that's how he started. I think it was like, I don't know what his first 100 at-bats were or 75 at-bats were, but it was really bad. Funeral planning, speaking of that, can seem overwhelming. Making final arrangements ahead of time, though, will help your family both emotionally and financially. Dignity Memorial providers are exceptional. They're caring professionals who make difficult conversations a little easier. Think about how you'd like to be remembered. This is one of, listen, if you want a traditional funeral or memorial service, a Dignity Memorial provider will provide that. Dignity Memorial is an umbrella organization for a whole bunch of funeral homes you know and trust in your community throughout Chicagoland. And if you want the traditional service, they'll do it. But if you want it to be personalized so that it really reflects who you or that loved one were, so that it really is about you or that person, this is something they take a lot of care and pride in providing. If there is a special sauce at the family cookouts, maybe that should somehow be remembered in the service. If there's a particular piece of music, maybe that should, it could be as simple or as complex or creative. You should see the things that people have come up with and they've helped provide. Here's what you need to do. Start by visiting dignitychicago.com. That's their website, dignitychicago.com. Sam Panionovich is on line 7. Hey, Sam, it's John Williams. How are you?
I'm great. That was a great transition. I love that.
Yeah. Do you remember the number on that? Now, you're too young to be there in 1980, whatever the heck it was, two when Sandberg got his start, but I know he started out really badly.
Yeah, his first year was not great, but he finished sixth in the Rookie of the Year that year in 82. He was only 22 years old when he came up and ended up hitting .271, had only seven homers. The power came later for him. Remember, he hit 40 one year. I think it was like 1990. But it's expectations. It's the Cubs. I mean, yeah, there's a lot that goes into being a 22. I mean, I remember when Anthony Rizzo came up, and this was in like July of 2013. And he still had baby fat, King. I mean, he was still like, he's hitting cleanup. He's playing first base. He's batting behind Alfonso Soriano. Actually, that may have been 12. It was either 2012 or 2013. It actually might have been 2012. But when somebody comes up and they have so much promise and they're supposed to be the face of the franchise, and oh, by the way, we were getting out of college when we were 22, and they're batting cleanup for the Cubs. It's hard to put it in perspective at the time, but when you look back, he was just this baby-faced kid that was the captain of one of the worst teams in the league.
I asked you yesterday to look up for me what Vegas is saying, Sam Panionovich, about the divisions that we're interested in here, the National League Central and the White Sox division on the AL side. So it's Cubs and Cards, say the betting people in Vegas, right?
Yeah, but the Cubs were actually bet down, and I really don't understand it. And you know I'm far from a Cub apologist by any means, but they've won over 90 games every year that Joe Maddon's been there, and they've been to the playoffs every single season as well. So the fact that the market moved, like the number at one point for their win total was 91, and I thought, all right, well, that's pretty fair. It's now, well, it closed because the market's closed now because the season started, but the final number was 87.5. So that's a pretty strong position on the under, moving almost four wins. And I talked to one pro bettor the other day, and he said he just doesn't like the rotation and he doesn't trust the rotation. I see Yu Darvish, John Lester, Kyle Hendricks, Jose Quintana, Cole Hamels, and I think that's one of the best rotations in the game.
I don't bet, but Chris, if I were going to bet, if you said, hey, John, you want to put $10 down on the Cubs winning 88 games? I'd bet that they're going to win 88 games this year.
Yeah, I did. I went over 87.5. I did bet it. I'll admit it. It sucked to bet over on the Cubs as a Sox fan, but I mean, I think that's an inefficiency in the market. I mean, remember Chris Bryant only played like 100 games last year. He had a bum shoulder and he couldn't swing it, and he wasn't himself. Yu Darvish didn't really do anything for the Cubs last year. They didn't make any moves in free agency, but they're going to add a healthy Darvish and a healthy Bryant to a team that made the playoffs last year. Not to mention you have Joe Maddon. Barring an explosion in that locker room, which I don't think is going to happen because that's a very well-respected room and they like each other. There's no bad apples in that locker room. Barring an explosion and Joe Maddon getting fired, I don't see how they don't win at least 88 games. I agree.
Give me 30 seconds on the White Sox at 73. You think that's about right?
That's about right. I don't think they're selling this year, so I think they're going to stop trading good players away. They can win 71 to 75. That's a good number, 73. I will tell you one thing, though. You got to watch this kid, Eloy Jimenez, number 74. He is a stud, and this is a surefire top contender to win the Rookie of the Year. He's going to be impressive this year.
Okay, so whatever happened, 0 for 3, 1 RBI. He said he felt nervous. He's going to get the kinks out. He's going to play.
He's going to hit balls as far as anybody's hit them at U.S. Cellular or Guaranteed Rate or whatever we're calling it now. He's going to hit so many balls that just make your head whip, and it's going to be amazing to follow this ride.
I'm out of time. I should have got to you sooner, Sam. It's always fun to talk to you, man.
That's your fault. That's your fault. I'll talk to you next time. See ya.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
What we do.
Here's John Williams.
It's not just me, by the way. Once I saw producer Ella think a big thought, and Steve Bertrand's going to have one Thursday, so it's not just me. We're here weekdays from 1 to 3 and Saturdays 10 to noon on social media, WGN King John. Don't miss the Mincing Rascals podcast. You can listen to the Mincing Rascals anytime, wherever you listen to finer podcasts. And remember, if you say to your smart speaker, play the Mincing Rascals, you'll get the latest episode. The guys were engaged in the last episode. They had a lot to talk about. It was as spirited as they get. It's local talk, and I think you'll enjoy it. Commercial-free, the Mincing Rascals. Judge the best in the city. Senator Dick Durbin is scheduled to join us in this half hour. We just got word that he won't be able to come on until 2:20, which is what happens sometimes. I just wanted to get his thoughts on a few things, including that exchange he had with Betsy DeVos, and for that matter, the president's talking about the immigrants coming into this country again. Immigrant issues have long been part of Dick Durbin's agenda. He's been working on the Dreamers as long as he's almost been in the Senate. There's one other story that's been in the news the last few days, and we haven't talked about it. I want to just for a few minutes here before the senator comes on. It's not related to any of that. It's about Scott's Law. Scott's Law in Illinois is simple. I'm reading, or at least taking notes from Rex Hupke's piece in the Tribune today. If you're driving and you see a vehicle on the side of the road with emergency lights flashing or a siren activated, you must slow down and attempt to change lanes away from the emergency vehicle. If you can't change lanes, you have to reduce your speed. Too many people do not do this, sometimes because they're drunk. Thursday, another Illinois State Police trooper was struck by a vehicle doing her job. Brooke Jones Story. Killed because a semi-trailer slammed into her while she was inspecting a truck that she had pulled over. This year, this is the stunning thing, there have been 15 state troopers hit by vehicles. State troopers, to say nothing of locals, including 34-year-old trooper Christopher Lambert, who was killed by a motorist in January. None of the drivers in those cases was obeying Scott's Law. And Hepke says, we all got to start yelling at each other. We got to do this. We've got to slow down or move over or both. 15 troopers have been hit by vehicles, and two of them have died, and it's only March. That happened this year. So you and I have two frustrations about this. One is because we do see that. We do see people either not pulling over or not slowing down. Or this is the worst of them, right? The people that tailgate, the fire trucks, ambulances, and squad cars. Less so the squad cars, because that might get you in trouble. But if the ambulance or the fire truck is clear in a path, some people just pull out right behind them and say, you block. You're not supposed to do that either. So I don't know how to fix that, except that, yeah, Hupke's right. Slow down, move over, slow down, move over. Please slow down, please move over. It's amazing to think that people hit them. I mean, have you ever swerved into the shoulder lane when there was another vehicle there and almost hit them? I mean, we all kind of lose our focus sometimes, but boy, that's asking a lot. There's a vehicle, there's another vehicle, flashing lights are on one of them, and you plowed right into a person? 15 times now. This is the other thing that I wish the police would do. This is more local. If they get somebody running a stop sign, red light, speeding, whatever it is that they're pulling somebody over in traffic, they invariably pull them over right away. And that, to me, this is a reverse complaint now. I wish the cops wouldn't do that.
You said just pull them over in a lane?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand why. That seems to me to be so dangerous.
That's the thing. I'm thinking the cops would do themselves a favor if they'd get on that speaker. I don't know how you do it, but the rule needs to be you need to follow the police officer. Maybe that won't work. But you need to get that person to pull over into a parking lot or to a residential area and get off of Southport. I mean, this happened the other day. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, people are going around. They're backed up. They're ticked off. The officer is getting out, walking into traffic. It looks like a bad idea.
I wonder if you couldn't legally, if the police aren't able to, say, pull into this church parking lot or, you know, because it's private property.
What do you mean by you say that?
I don't know if they are allowed to, say, pull into this.
Oh.
I don't know the answer.
If I were a legislator, I'd fix that.
Right. But I hated, like, up where I live sometimes, the four-lane roads.
Yeah.
And, you know, cars are going 30, 35 miles an hour, and if you're not expecting it, it seems like it puts the police at risk.
And you get then mad at that person or mad at the police officer because one dum-dum ran a stop sign or ran into another car, and then you've got this backup forever, and you just wish they could find a way to attend to that. Just say it's a simple traffic stop. You wish they could find a way to attend to it in a way that didn't disrupt everybody else. Now, that sounds real selfish, but frankly, it's in the best interest of the cops. I mean, if they found a safer place to pull them over, it'd be better for them. It'd be better for everybody. The fear must be that the person will get away, right? I guess. I mean, you know, so you have to pull them over immediately. But I don't know why they don't just get on that speaker and say, hey, I've got your license plate number. Follow me. Or go to the next intersection, turn left, and go into the Jewel parking lot. I don't understand that.
John, how about a new law? Don't pull over cars on the expressway. It's too dangerous.
I get that point. I guess if you've got their license plate, maybe you can deal with it later on. I guess it depends. 630, John, I've noticed that truck drivers overall are driving much more aggressively. I haven't noticed that. 630, how the hell do you know they weren't obeying the law? First of all, it wasn't my column. It was Rex Hupke. And he said, if you don't slow down and or move over, you're breaking the law. So there it is. We played for you a short while ago. By the way, lots of calls and comments about when the cops pull people over and what should happen. We'll get to those in just a minute. Senator Dick Durbin has been able to join us just now. I don't want to miss the senator's call. Senator Durbin, John Williams, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good, John. How you doing?
Good. I don't know how much of your time I have. I know you may have to exit quickly, so if you need to, by all means, do. A lot of people are talking about your exchange with Betsy DeVos the other day.
Well, I'll tell you, it troubled me. When I think about it, $17 or $18 million sounds pretty substantial until you put it up against a $70 or $80 billion budget and you realize it's small change. So somebody in her office or the Office of Management and Budgeting decided to get rid of Special Olympics. I've attended some of their events, so I'll bet you have too. It's inspiring. It changes lives. It's a bargain, for goodness sakes, for all of these young men and women across the world, for goodness sakes, with disabilities, physical, mental disabilities. This is the high point, not of their day, but of their lives, to be part of it. And for the woman to be Secretary of Education and not appreciate that and really believe it's just dispensable, that to me was troubling.
Did you want any of your response back when she said to you, you're using children with disabilities as a political prop? It's a private organization, and they get 90% of their financing outside the federal government. So she tried to call you out on that.
Yeah, she sure did. And it's interesting. The White House this morning backed off of it and said, we're going to restore the funding for the Special Olympics. But I expected her to. It was the second day she'd face questioning on it. And, you know, the fact that it's a private organization should not stop us from helping. You know, we shouldn't just support those things we fully support and fully invent. It says something if the philanthropic community and individuals contribute to the same cause we're working on at the federal level.
Well, and then why did the president step in then?
step in and say that the fund should be restored.
Yeah.
They were taking too much heat. It really was a type. You know, if I said to you, ketchup is a vegetable, you would say, uh-oh, that was that Ronald Reagan thing. The little things are the big things in politics. People remember little things. Betsy DeVos has been controversial on 100 different levels, but she, for the time being, is going to be remembered as the woman who cut the money for Special Olympics.
I don't know why they didn't see that coming. I mean, I could see it both ways. Special Olympics might have gotten an extra $18 million in private financing based on the publicity alone, or they get the money from the public sector. Either way, Special Olympics is fine, but the administration looks so callous. It looks so deaf to the issue when they cut such a small amount.
And, you know, their argument is we've got a deficit. Well, let me just add, that wasn't the argument when they cut the taxes for people at the highest income levels and added $1 trillion to the deficit in the process. But even conceding the fact that we do have a deficit, we should worry about it. I came back to her and gave her plenty of room to cut in the for-profit colleges and universities, which we are seeing, unfortunately, a tragic script unfolding here. As more and more of these schools are going under, and the students, even here in Chicago, who were defrauded by the likes of Argosy University, trying to get at least their debt forgiven since they have worthless credit hours,
yeah,
can't get a day's hearing in the Department of Education with the secretary. I asked her, 140,000 students waiting for their day in court to see if they have to carry these student loans from these good-for-nothing for-profit colleges and universities, and she didn't have an answer.
I'll tell you, one thing I've liked coming out of the administration, and I don't know where this is or how up on it you are, but my understanding is that universities will have to disclose what the average income is for students who graduate with certain degrees. If you're going to borrow $100,000 and you might make $35,000 with that degree, they ought to be up front with you about that. That sounds like a good idea to me.
It does to me, too. And, you know, making money in life is not everything. But if you're going into debt to get to a status in life where you can start earning a salary, when these schools lure a young person and their family, I might add, into a deep debt, bad things happen. I was up in Zion, at the Zion Benton High School, just a couple weeks ago, and down in Decatur, at Decatur MacArthur High School. They're running out of teachers. They can't find teachers. Starting salaries around $30,000. That's, incidentally, $15 an hour under a minimum wage. $30,000 for a starting teacher. And they can't fill the classrooms. Why? Too many of these kids are coming out so loaded with debt that it's inconceivable that they could make go of it, making $30,000. So, you know, we've got to be honest about this debt. It is changing lives, and not for the better.
Have you seen or heard more of the Mueller report than the four pages we have seen?
No, but we expect to. The latest report, it's some 300 pages long, and we're waiting for the Attorney General to release what he's going to release. The sooner the better. Whatever the outcome of this, I said long ago and stand by my statement, I trust Bob Mueller. He's a professional. I don't think he's political. I think he's an American to the core. And if he says that there's a case, there is a case from my point of view. And if he says the opposite, I hold by that too. So he said when it came to the Trump campaign involvement with the Russians, he didn't find it. He went on to the issue of his obstruction of justice and said he couldn't say either way whether the president was guilty or not guilty when it came to it. I'd stand by him there, too. But at this point, the American people, I think, have the right to see what the report says about the president, good and bad.
You trust the special prosecutor. Do you trust the attorney general?
Well, John, I didn't vote for him, and I'll tell you why. Because he voluntarily sent a 19-page memo to President Trump's defense squad last year and said, I don't think you can be found guilty of obstruction of justice. So when he comes down with a conclusion that the president did not obstruct justice, I can't help but think that he decided that a long time ago.
The president's talking about immigrants in another caravan today. Are we any closer to, or where are we on some sort of comprehensive legislation about dealing with the immigrants that are here and are undocumented, the ones that are here now?
Well, we're not doing anything. And the only bill that's passed in recent time was one that a group of eight of us, four Dems, four Republicans, put together with John McCain. It passed the Senate, was never taken up by the Republican House. I'm going to reintroduce that bill, bring it up to speed, up to date. If we don't do comprehensive immigration reform, we're going to lurch from one crisis, one challenge to the next. But I'll tell you this, too. This characterization by the president of what's going on the southern border as an invasion is an outrage. Yes, it is a challenge. Yes, we're being overwhelmed with numbers. But to call this an invasion and a caravan, these folks are walking up, children in hand, and presenting themselves to people with uniforms. They are not trying to storm the border or invade, for goodness sakes. It is a terrible crisis in that regard, a humanitarian crisis. They need to be taken care of, and I want to work to do it. But trying to conjure some sort of negative feelings about immigrants at the border and that they're somehow a threat to each and every one of us is a gross exaggeration and unfair.
Senator, the president's in Florida today, and he again talked about closing the border next week. Do you have any idea how that could happen? I mean, do you expect anything like that?
Well, it's possible he will, but I can tell you he'll only close some of the ports of entry for some of the people. We have millions of people crossing that border every week, legally crossing that border. There's a steady flow of commerce back and forth between the United States and Mexico. So he's not going to be able to close off that border, and the ports of entry are where many of these people are headed to.
I don't even know what it means. When he says that, does he mean it'll be it's so dangerous that we'll even close off, you know, legal automobile traffic from going through checkpoints? Is that what that means?
It's nonsensical. He obviously has never been there, or at least if he's there, he's not listening. But you go down to a city like El Paso, which incidentally happens to be a pretty peaceful city right on the border, and their daily commerce back and forth across those bridges is just essential to the economies of the United States and Mexico.
One last thing. The president is also now saying that the Republican Party will be the party of health care. I don't know what their health care plan looks like, but if I may, I hope that if the Republicans want to get serious about crafting some sort of comprehensive health care legislation that could work and that might borrow from Obamacare, that I would hope the Democrats would be open to that, even though he's trying to brand himself or them with that.
John, I voted for Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, maybe the most important vote I ever cast. Half of the uninsured people in the state of Illinois now have health insurance. I wish all of them did. I think that ought to be our goal. Is it perfect? Heck no. You know, Moses didn't carry it down on clay tablets. It's a best effort that we made 10 years ago. It's now been in the law for 9 years. Does it need improvement changes? You bet. There isn't enough in there about dealing with prescription drug prices, which is what's driving the cost of health insurance through the roof in our state and other places, and a lot of other aspects. But the president has basically said, you know, just basically repeal it and we'll get around to replacing it. They've had 9 years to write a replacement. I'd like to see the first draft.
Have you?
No.
Do you
they
know?
Don't have one.
Well,
That's why John McCain voted no.
Okay, I'm out of time, Senator. Anything else you'd like to pass along?
No, I can tell you the Illinois Department of Public Health report today about the incidence of cancer around the Sterigenics facility in Willowbrook is must reading, not just for the folks living in DuPage County, but for all of us. We need regulation by groups like the US EPA to save us from things we can't save ourselves from. One of them is this deadly carcinogenic gas that comes out of those facilities.
How is it that company, so we've got a lot of lawyer ads on this radio station, and they're, you know, they are taking all their shots at that company. And if those claims are true, we have worked on this with my producer, Elif. I said, get somebody from Sterigenics to come on. If that's a company here in the Chicago area, and they're really doing that, as these ads say, then let's have them tell us their side of the story. Categorically, they won't. And I'm thinking, how the hell is it that we let a company come in here and do this?
Well, and you ought to take a look at this report. We had a briefing this morning over the phone. 20 years of cancer statistics lead them to the sad, tragic conclusion that blood cancers, which are associated with ethylene oxide, are reaching significantly higher levels among women and children near the Sterigenics facility. And that's based on 20 years of data. They want to do more study, and they should. But it's fair warning to all of us that we need government agencies that care and watch and keep us protected when we can't protect ourselves.
Nice to talk to you, Senator. I'm out of time. I know you're pressed, too. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, Steve. WGN Chicago, John Williams in the Allstate Skyline studio. Lauren left the traffic box and joins us here.
Like a stone, and I fell heavy into your arms.
days of darkness.
What are we listening to here, Ms. Garris?
This is Mumford & Sons. They will be playing at the United Center tonight at 7:30. Now, tickets are sold out, but in case you haven't heard of them before...
Oh, yeah. This is good.
But I kneel down, wait for now.
So, Mumford & Sons at the United Center tonight. I love this. Thank you for playing that. I'll mention this. Navy Pier's got a signature food tour. Take an indoor tour of Navy Pier. They've sort of dressed that place up a little bit these days, and you sample all of the food, which is really a tour of Chicago food. You can add a beverage for $5. It's a tour of the food of Chicago at Navy Pier. Go to ChicagoFoodPlanet.com for details. All right, what have you got?
All right, well, obviously everyone's been all about March Madness, but don't forget about the women's. Their tournament's going on. Sweet 16 tomorrow at Wintrust Arena. Multiple teams playing, including Notre Dame. So it'll be an exciting day.
Earth Hour tomorrow. I know this isn't like a real fun thing to do, but I want to mention it. Hooray Earth at 8:30 Saturday night everywhere. Turn off your lights in solidarity with the rest of the world. To acknowledge, it says here, the value of nature, and best part, it's free. Lauren Lapka, go.
Well, something that if you kind of want to experience a different culture, the Assyrian New Year Parade is on Sunday afternoon, and that's on the north side. It will close western between Granville and Pratt, so keep that in mind, but it could be something very cool to see if you've never been there.
Whiskey Fest Chicago takes place at the Hyatt Regency downtown tonight. You can still get tickets. WhiskeyFest.com tonight, downtown. Got something else you want to do?
I sure do. So obviously everyone's very excited about baseball, but our teams aren't coming home till next week. So if you want to get out and watch some kind of game, match, watch the Chicago Fire play New York Red Bulls Saturday at noon at SeatGeek Stadium in Bridgeview.
Out in Naperville, the Harmony Sweepstakes Acapella Fest, inspired by the sing-off on NBC, takes place tomorrow night at Wentz Concert Hall. That's at 7:30 tomorrow night in Naperville. Tickets are $30. They sing well out there. ChicagoHarmonySweepstakes.com. Got a couple more for me?
Sure do. So if you want to not go to a concert, but maybe a little bit of comedy, if you're a fan, Gabriel Iglesias, the guy that does the whole fluffy joke, he'll be at Allstate Arena tonight in Rosemont. 8 p.m. is when that starts.
Let me catch up on baseball, too. The White Sox play at 1:10 every day starting Saturday. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday through Wednesday. 1:10, you'll hear the first pitch here on WGN Radio. Then Thursday, they travel home for the opener at the bank. Thursday at 1:10. We'll be out at Cork and Carey for the big pregame party. We'll see you Thursday at Cork and Carey. If you haven't done a White Sox party with us, that's a hoot.
Oh, man, I can't wait. I mean, already a big fan, and now I get to do it and work at the same time.
That's for real, too. I mean, when you came back here, we were kind of excited for a lot of reasons, but one was you're a bona fide White Sox fan.
Oh, yeah.
No. All right, give me one more thing to do this weekend.
Okay, I'm all things sports, what can I say? But the Wolves are playing, so obviously Blackhawks season is winding down. But if you want to go check the Chicago Wolves, they'll be at Allstate Arena 7 p.m. tomorrow, and they're facing the Milwaukee Admirals.
Jersey Boys is coming back to Chicago, and Cruel Intentions is in town first part of April. And both of them are doing Rush Tickets digitally and Rush Tickets Day of. Details at BroadwayInChicago.com to get the discount tickets for Jersey Boys. It starts April 2nd, and it's just a one-week run for Jersey Boys. And then Cruel Intentions at Water Tower Place, a two-week run starting April 2nd. Details at BroadwayInChicago.com. Okay, so let's do this. It's 2:42. Let's pause. Come back. This is your chance to call right now. Do call right now. 312-981-7200. We're going to go live on the Facebook. So where do we get this now? Is this on my page or WGN Radio? Go to WGN King John on Facebook. If you have a browser, you'll see Lauren Lapka in her radiant royal blue top.
It is very blue. It's bright blue for the bright side of life.
I don't know why I was noticing it today, but I thought, doggone it, that's a bright blue top.
Got to distract from my face somehow.
I have my sort of Irish green woolen sweater on.
Yeah, you look like a professor today.
I do a lot.
We need to get you some elbow patches.
I'm going to start smoking a pipe during this commercial break. So wave to us on Facebook, WGN King John on Facebook. Call or text now. Tell us some good news in your world. Tell us why you're smiling. Here we go now. Call me, text me.
Some things in life are bad.
Hello, Facebook.
They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear.
Our Bright Side is sponsored by our friends at the Joint Relief Institute.
When you're chewing on life's gristle, that grumble, give a whistle.
Get ready to whistle.
And this'll help things.
Kevin Powell, you're going to solo on this one?
You got it, John.
Here we go.
And always look on the bright side of life.
I'm impressed every time, to be honest.
You know,
thank you, Warren.
For me, it's as much about the effort as it is the performance. I mean,
I find it very difficult to whistle in key.
Something you forgot.
So does Kevin.
That's to love and smile and dance and sing.
All right, this is what we do on Fridays at this time. We ask you to call in or text 312-981-7200. Give us some good news. Tell us why you're smiling. It's the Bright Side.
Always look on the bright side.
Remember now, we're live on Facebook. Hi, Facebook. Like me, I'm WG.
That was much better.
WGN King John on Facebook. You can watch right now. We're waving to you. And you can message us on Facebook and tell us your bright side. What are you reading there, producer Elif?
Oh, I just meant I have my own bright side.
All right, here's Elif with her bright side.
My cousin from Turkey is here one last weekend. I get to see him one last time today. He was here for the wedding.
Speaking of weddings, this is my bright side. Brenda and I are going to a wedding this weekend. We're really looking forward to it.
Fun.
I'll have my bride in my arms and we'll dance across the floor.
Wedding season is approaching.
What's your bright side?
My bright side is that I'm feeling elite. That Purdue win last night. Oh, man. Hard not to feel great.
Jim, you're on WGN Radio. What's your bright side, Jim? You're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, I just wanted to say this date in 1968, I landed in Vietnam. I have two Purple Hearts and a Bronze Star, and I'm happy to be alive.
You sound great, Jim.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for your service. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you very much.
You betcha, buddy. How about Carol? You're on WGN. Carol, what's your bright side?
My bright side is celebrating my beautiful daughter's 21st birthday.
Woo-hoo!
I want a quick sprint to Lynn. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Lynn? You're on the air.
Because I'm talking to you, King John, my voice of reason. But my real bright side is I've got tickets to see you and Thomas Jefferson in May. Yahoo!
Wow, that's a good one.
Go to WGNradio.com/Jefferson. Get tickets. That's going to be a lot of fun. All right, Lauren Lapka, read what you got.
All right, 312 says their son is going to the University of Iowa. Now, I'm a Boilermaker, but I do have a lot of family members that went there, so go Hawkeyes.
It's a fun campus. What a great place to be. What else you got?
Let's see. We also have that people are smiling because it's beautiful outside, their chickens are loving it, and the horses enjoy a visit from the chiropractor.
I
didn't even know they had those.
Their horse went to the chiropractor. We've been doing this a long time. That's the first time we've ever had a horse at the chiropractor,
yeah,
bright side.
Sounds like the start of a joke.
Always look on the bright.
It does. Joan, you're on WGN. What's your bright side, Joan?
Hi, John. After about 5 hours, my husband and I have successfully hung a ceiling fan in our bedroom, and it's working.
Yeah, that's the second part. The second part's the most important part. Congratulations, Joan! Remember now, we're on Facebook. We're live streaming this, WGN King John on Facebook. Producer Elif's looking at your post there. What are you reading, Elif?
They keep slipping away from me, but one person, Chuck, said that he loves listening to King John, Lauren Lapka, and Elif doing the bright side.
Woo-hoo. I like it, too.
Let's go to Emily. You're on WGN. Emily, what's your bright side? You're on the air.
I found out this week that I won the Fulbright Scholarship, so I'll be spending 9 months in Spain.
Wow,
holy
congrats.
Cow. You know what? I want you to have one of our Bright Side pins from our friends at the Joint Relief Institute. Will you wear one for us?
Of course I will. That would be amazing.
It will be. And I want you to send me a picture of you wearing the Brightside pin from Spain, and then we'll post it and celebrate you, okay?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I would love that so much.
I'm shocked that somebody as smart as you is listening to this show, to be honest with you.
You can thank my parents.
Amen to that. All right, Emily, hold on. Talk to Ella if we're going to get you that Brightside pin, okay?
Oh, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Somebody raised her right. Let's hear another one.
All right, 210 says they're happy right now because they wanted to take their little kid to a fish fry, and they were able to make money working for Lyft for just 2 hours. So it's happening.
It's happening.
Way to go.
Carl, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Carl? You're on the air.
Hey, John. We talked about a week ago before we both went to go see Us. Subsequently, I heard you take care of it on Monday afternoon, I think it was. But I'm really glad you enjoyed it.
Did you enjoy it?
I did, sir. I saw it last Sunday night.
And on a scale of 1 to 23 jujubes, what did you give the movie Us?
Yeah, I'll give it a 1920 Jellybean jujubes like you. And in the words of Richard Roper, an unforgettable dance with the devil.
Yeah, no kidding. Thank you for the call. Be silly chumps. All right, what have you got?
224, Brightside. There's still a small shred of possibility that the Blackhawks could make their way to the postseason.
5 games, 5 points. Blackhawks, come on now. Come on now.
Oh, so close.
John, I love this one from 773. Our son's a first year at the University of Chicago and starting middle infielder, shortstop, and second base on the baseball team. Monday, they played number one ranked Trinity University in Texas. My son's hit drove in the winning run in the 10th. Baseball's back, baby.
Go Maroons! Forget about your seat. That's a fun ballpark to go see. It's a little ballpark they got right next to the campus. It's a lovely part of town. Go Maroons. All right, read another one, Lauren Lapka.
All right, 847, daughter getting married tomorrow. The last wedding out of three. They're all married and out of the house. Congratulations. I hope it's a good time.
Catherine, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Catherine? You're on the air.
Hi, John. I'm smiling because my parents, who winter in Florida, are coming back home.
Well, how nice of them and you, and I'm glad that you're glad that they're coming. You know, some parents and kids are glad when they separate. It's nice that you're happy when they come back. You know what I mean?
Yes, we are. They've been gone long, and we miss them.
Thanks, Catherine. All right, Lauren Lapka, go.
630, I got a new car last night, and my wife will not be driving this one through the garage door.
Ray, you're on the air. Why are you smiling?
King John, always a pleasure to talk to you. Two quick ones. First of all, I finally got my prescription glasses today. I can see.
Ray.
And the second one is, I actually saw three people use their turn signal today.
Oh, wow.
Dear Diary. Ray, thanks for the call. Lauren Lapka, go.
All right, this one's very nice and springy. 815, Brightside, I found sproutings in my flower bed today. Maybe seeing snow this weekend, though.
I have been noticing. I know that. Don't say that. I was noticing some green and some buds today, and every day I'm looking for them, and I'm finding them. That's a bright side for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Producer Ella, if you got another bright side, remember, we're live on the stream. Hi, Facebook. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. Watch us there. Comment there. Ella will read some of them there.
Annie says rock star columnist Mary Schmeek will be at the Community House in May. Can't wait. She's the best.
She really is.
Let's give her a pin.
This one?
Mm-hmm.
This
Annie.
Person? Oh, I thought you were saying give Mary Schmeek one of our Brightside pins.
We'll
give Annie one. Let's give Annie two, and she can give one to Mary when she goes to see her.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Pat on line 8. Always look on. Hey, Pat.
Hi, John. I'm 78 years old, and I finally figured out how to use the stream.
Welcome! We're there! Yay! Look, how old are you?
78.
You're young. You ought to know how to operate the stream. You go to WGNradio.com. There's a couple of options. You click on the right one. There we are, right?
I figured it out.
Hooray! Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening to us.
Sure.
That's a nice thing to know, because when we have White Sox games on the radio, mm-hmm. you can listen to White Sox games here on WGN, or you can listen to Rokan and Advantis, this show. If we're preempted, we're still on the stream.
Yeah, it's about to happen a lot.
Yeah, so. No kidding.
Practice.
Go, girl. What have you got?
Okay, I'm going to take this one with a grain of salt. I will be a good fan. 630, Brightside of Life, Cubs won the season opener.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough.
Good for you guys.
I got text from my brother. He said, at this rate, Javi Baez is going to hit 360 home runs this year. It's a way to start the season, Cubs and Cubs fans. Let me take Susan. You're on WGN. Susan, what's your bright side? You're on the air. Breaker, breaker, Susan. Hi, you're on the air.
I'm calling. My bright side is that my niece is having her first baby, and we're having her baby shower this weekend, and it's a boy.
Oh, yay! Hooray. Okay, here's what we're going to do. The music is out. We've got to wrap this up. I'm going to get you one of those bright side pins. I don't think I'm going to get it to you in time, but I want you to give one to the baby boy, okay?
Okay.
In fact,
and
I'll
send
you
a picture with him.
Amen to that. So one for you and one for the baby boy. I'll send you two, okay?
Okay, great.
Rokan and Anna Devlantis. Hi, guys. Happy weekend to you, too, by the way. The weekend is here.
Oh, it is. It is. It's an all Mumford & Sons show for us today.
How so?
We're just going to play Mumford & Sons music throughout the afternoon, welcoming them to Chicago.
Once you hear Mumford & Sons once, you go, oh, yeah, I love this stuff.
Yeah, they're
and then
amazing.
You want to play more.
Yeah. It's that Americana meets rock thing that goes on. They're spectacular.
Are they swinging through your studio today, Ro?
They are not, but we are having a similar musical act today.
Oh, good. So kind of a theme, huh?
Yeah. It's a thematic thing that we like to do here. And this is a band that a couple years ago nobody ever heard of, and now they're selling out stadiums, multiple night stadium tours all over the world.
Did they win the Grammy last year?
2 years ago, I think.
2 years ago, yeah.
So it's pretty great.
The road this weekend. My bright side is we're going to go to a wedding. We'll be out of town, so I'm going to skedaddle, but you guys have an outstanding show.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, Rosie, Adam.